Let's pray. Gracious Lord, like so many, we come to the Word with questions. Sometimes, like Pharisees, we can sometimes be captivated by correctness. And as we turn to your Word, do not let our desire for information subdue our need for transformation. Let us hear the Word of truth and be set free. Amen. Our scripture this morning, our scriptures rather, come from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and 34 and 36, and then Isaiah 41, verse 10. Hear now from John 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And now to Isaiah 41. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God.
Good morning. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Mike Holliday, and I want to tell you about the truth that set me free. To set your understanding, I need to confess a truth about me. I want to be in control, to have a plan, an order to things around me. It is how I am wired. I've taken the surveys, Myers-Briggs, Manager's Tool, Right Pass, and Enneagram personality questionnaires. They all confirm it. Being in control of situations is at the top of how I want to operate. It is where I am comfortable. This is a cold, hard, true fact. But the truth is, it will never set me free. In fact, it can be imprisoning. The truth that keeps working to set me free is understanding God is in control. I am not. It is true that I can make choices that lead in different directions and can have good results or bad consequences. But sometimes, no matter how much we want to control life, we find life really is in God's hands. Job said, "In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." I discovered this on Friday, May 30th of 2003. Because what I needed was a physical version of King David's spiritual request from Psalm 51:10. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." If you're a car enthusiast, it was like having your fuel pump or fuel filter completely clogged. My left atrium had a tumor growing that impeded the blood flow, causing my lungs to fill. I was literally drowning in my own blood. I was now in the total care and control of nurses, doctors, and modern medicine. Praise God for creating people who are dedicated health professionals. Now, without giving you all the squeamish details, by Monday, this dime-sized tumor was discovered. And within the week, it had grown to more than the size of a golf ball. But it was removed, and I was up and walking. And within a week of the surgery, I was walking about 4 miles a day. During that week's stay in the hospital, I could do nothing to control my situation. And in many ways, it was actually freeing. I had so many other people caring for me, praying for me. Worry was far from me. I was comforted. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God has used this physical setting free to help me grow my faith in him. Daily, I'm still working toward perfection because God is in control, and I am learning, with emphasis on still learning, to be content in all circumstances. I hope that you too may discover the truth that God is in control, and it will set you free.
Good job, Mike. Good job. I like to remind people, because everybody doesn't come to church every Sunday, do you? You ought to try it sometime, but we're going to remind you of some things. We started this journey about the truth setting us free 4 weeks ago now, as Ralph Lear talked about the truth that set him free was when he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he realized that, and he was set free. We then had Warren Turner talk about when he was set free from worry, when he sought wise counsel on a thing that was bothering him, and the person he sought wise counsel from was someone who had his eyes open and knew situations and it could help him. Last week, Francie Etheridge talked about, what was her nickname? Dynamite. Thank you, Bill. I just want the folks at 8:45, all of them said right on cue, dynamite. That was cool. They listened. I don't know about this crowd. Bill did, though. But Francie talked about in her life how her family dealt with depression, some better than others, and how she thought she had escaped it. But then she had some friends that intervened, had an intervention with her, and they helped her. And then in prayer, the blood of Jesus covered her, and she was set free from it. And today we hear from Mike. The Bible is filled with verses about God being with us. I love Genesis chapter 3. It's sad that what happened that brought me to that. But in chapter 3, we have the fall of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are naked, and they know it, and they're hiding in the garden. And they hear God walking in the garden. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't have air conditioning. We had a screen door on our back door, and it was never closed, or the wooden door was never locked unless we were not home. And so when we would run in the back door and sling it open and it would slam because of that spring, my mother knew who was coming in the door by the slam. And when I read about Adam and Eve being able to distinguish God walking in the garden, that means they were in close relationship with God. We hear about and read about in Exodus where the children of Israel are in Egypt. And Moses is sent down there for the Exodus. And we read about there is the cloud by day and the fire by night. And they cross through the Red Sea. And when they get into the desert, God gives them water. And they know every time they drink water, who is with them? God. He sends them manna from heaven daily, 6 days a week, and on the seventh day, God rested. He sent quail. Their clothes never wore out. That's what it says when they exit. Their clothes had never worn out. They probably wanted them to wear out. They would like some new clothes, but they didn't. Those activities assured them that God was with them. We have the scripture from Isaiah where God is speaking. And then we hear Jesus. John 14, where Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Some of his last words to his disciples, and lo, I will be with you always. God sends the Holy Spirit in Christ's name to us. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. The last words of John Wesley at 90 plus, but probably 90 years old, in 1791, his last words were, "Best of all, God is with us." How many of you think you're in charge? Mike thought that. He's raising his hand. There are people in here who think you are in control of everything. And like I heard the other day, "And this too shall pass." We like to be in charge and in control. There are some of us who want to make sure that everybody knows we're in control and we control everything that goes on in our house. "And that too shall pass." It really will. A number of years ago, I was talking to a dear friend who just happened to meet my doctor at the time, and a mutual friend of ours had had a heart attack. He thought he was invincible. We thought he was invincible. He was in good health. He seemed to be in good health. He was young. He was in his 40s. He was there. And he had a heart attack. And then had open heart surgery. And we were talking. And he told me that you got to look out for men and heart attacks and open heart surgery, because they come face to face with their mortality for the very first time. He needs counseling. It's changed the way he relates to things that happen in his life. He had become emotional where he had never been emotional. If you think back to those years when Mike had his situation, he was 44 years old. He had a really young wife. Still does. Had children 14, 13, and 10. That is scary. You are not in control. I have decided if you think you're in control, you've never had surgery. Those people will tell you you're going to do things that you swore you would never do. I don't get up before 9:30. But somehow or another, when the doctor tells you your surgery is going to be at 7:30, you figure out a way to get there at 5. If they tell you not to have anything to eat or drink after 8 o'clock, you don't do that. Or they will send you home. They don't care who you are. When you get there, somebody's going to make you verify who you are. They're going to put a band on you. And the first person that comes to get you is going to verify that your name and her information matches what's on your armband. And you figure out, I'm not quite in charge like I thought I would be. And they will make sure that you have not eaten or drinking, had anything to drink since whenever. They get you in the back, and before you know it, somebody's closing a curtain. And they say, "Take off your clothes and put on this gown." It's not a strapless gown, it's a backless gown. And it takes away a lot of authority and power you have. Because it limits the number of places you're willing to go. Amen? The only place you really want to do is back up to that little cot and get in it. Cover up. And then somebody comes in and checks your respiration. They put a pulse oximeter on you. They'll start an IV, and they'll ask you if you had anything to eat or drink in a few hours. A doctor come in and says, "We're on time. This is what's going to happen. It's going to take about 2 hours. Once we start, I will be talking to you when everything, he gets in recovery. Everything will do da 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 da." Anesthesiologist comes in, makes sure you hadn't had anything to eat or drink again, checks everything out, and then said, "I'm going to give you a little something to knock the edge off." It is absolutely amazing how drops of this clear liquid can make you not care what in the world happens ever. You don't care that you're not in charge. That stuff will set you free. It really will. That's how much we are in charge in life. Mike tells a story, and it's so true. You see, we need to come to the place in our lives where the truth that we're not in charge and not in control, we know it. Because it can set us free to be the people that God has created us to be. My story, you've heard, but I'm going to tell it again. Because some of you don't come to church every Sunday. And some of you hadn't been in a while. And it's good for me to tell the story, but because it helps me remember. You see, we need to remember and relive and rethink about the ways in which God has been active and working in our lives. We need to remind ourselves of those things. When Allison, our oldest daughter, was 24, yeah, I got to make sure my facts are right. June is here. There's a fact checker. She was 3 months away from getting married. She had found a lump in her breast, and so she went to her doctor. The doctor did a needle biopsy, and I don't know, a few days later, a week later, I'm not sure, I was on the phone trying to sell some plants to somebody in Virginia. That's what I was doing most of the time. And the receptionist comes in with a note, which I still have. It said, June is on the phone. It sounds important. I get on the phone, and June says, we got to go to Dr. Cooper's office. He called Allison. I go home. We get in the car, and we drive from Thompson to Augusta, which is about 30 miles. And while I'm driving, this was before hands-free laws, I was calling the prayer team at our little church. And all I could say was, I don't know what's up, but we need prayer because they wanted Allison to come and they want us to be with her. To quote Randy Cooper, there are some times in your life that you really want your mother to be with you. So we get there. Allison's fiance, 2-3 months to be her husband, is sitting next to me. I'm here, June is here, Allison and our sister-in-law. And Randy says, you have cancer. And this is what I thought. I had an immediate burst of prayer. I do not know why I prayed this prayer, because now it seems like I should have prayed something different. But my prayer was not, God, you need to heal her today. You need to take this thing away from her today. This child loves you too much for you to give her this. I love you too much for you to do this to her. That was nothing anywhere close to my prayer. I do not know where this came from, but my prayer was, in that split second, was, God, I need to experience you. I need to feel your presence, and I need to know that we're not alone. The second thought was, have you ever been amazed how when you type in something on Google and you hit send, how fast stuff comes back to you? No matter how different. I sent out a Google search in my brain. What can I do to take this away from my daughter? And you know what came back? Nothing. How many of you in your life, it had something for a child or whatever, might have been a parent, a sibling, a spouse, that you say, I wish I could take that away from you. Am I the only one? Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted. I wanted God to let me take it. And I figured out I'm not in charge and I can't take it away from her. There's nothing I can do to take that cancer away from her. And so Randy starts talking. He says that if you were my wife or you were my daughter, this is what I would tell you to do. And he starts telling, you need to have a mastectomy. I know you're young. I know, but if you don't, when you get 45 or somewhere down the road, that stuff's going to come back, and it's going to come back with a vengeance. You need to do this. And Allison said, Randy, that's good and all, but I don't have any insurance. I don't have any money. I can't even pay you for this visit or the needle biopsy and what's happened before now. I just got a new job, and I don't have insurance. I sent out one of those Google searches in my brain real quick. It came back quick and said, I'm thinking, if I have to sell everything I have, even our other daughter, whatever I've got to do, we're going to do it. If I have to move back in with my mother, if I have to sell everything I have, if I have to take a second mortgage, if I have to, I don't care. I will do it. And then Randy said, you don't have to worry about that. I'll have you on Medicaid by sunset. And I closed my eyes and looked to heaven and said, thank you, Lord. Now, I know that Randy Cooper didn't create Medicaid. I don't care. But in that moment of the greatest need that I could come up with, where I couldn't take the disease and I couldn't do anything and I knew that she couldn't afford it, it was good to hear someone say what he said. I have not been left. She has not been left. We are not alone. And so we went about it. She had a lumpectomy the next day. But on our way home that night, we had to go by church, and it was kind of an interesting thing because it was Wednesday night, and they were eating supper, and we walk in the door, and there was all these people, because the one lady who we called to tell her about the prayer chain, she had actually done what she was supposed to do, and everybody would happen to be there, and they could answer the phone, and everybody knew about it. And then they wanted to know, and they hugged us and loved us. And there was this guy who was, I'd like to say I'm closer to his age, but he's a lot younger than I am. Big guy, strong. He hugged me. I can still feel it. He wrapped his arms around me, hugged me, and we wept. But it felt like the arms of God around me. I see this guy now. In my mind, if I see him, that's my memory of him. The day he hugged me and let me know that he loved me and they loved me and they were going to be with us. So, we made a pact among the family. June, myself, and her fiancé, and the sister-in-law, that if Allison went to the doctor, somebody was going to go with her so that we had the facts. Everybody, it would be more than one set of ears. And so one of the first visits we had to go to was a plastic surgeon, because when they did the double mastectomy, they were going to prepare her for reconstruction. And so I'm there. Me, of all people, I'm with her when she goes to the plastic surgeon. And the plastic surgeon comes in, and Allison's name is Lori Allison, and the doctor comes in and says, Lori Broom? And she says, well, it is Lori, but I go by Allison, and he stops. Then he says, do you know Bill Doggett? Both of us looked, Alice and I looked at each other, and we smiled and said, sure, he used to be a neighbor of ours when we had a house out in the country. She said, well, I go to Sunday school with Bill Doggett. 2 weeks ago, he told us that a little girl that used to live next to him, named Allison, was diagnosed with breast cancer. I've been praying for you for 2 weeks, by name, every morning. And all I could think was, thank you, Jesus. You have not left us. We have not been deserted. You'd be surprised that all I can say now is those events and countless more were the thing that set me free from the idea that I'm ever alone. Because I have been amazed in my life the numbers of times that people have answered the call of God and have assured me that it's going to be okay, that God is with me. It sets you free from worry, regardless of the things that we're going through. Prepares us. And what the beauty for me in my life, in my faith journey, is that if the hardest days of our life, that God is with us, and we know that God loves us. And the people of God are being the agents of God to make sure we know that. When the end of our days on this earth come, we are more willing and able to take that step of faith because we know that God has been faithful all the way. And that truth can set us free to enjoy eternal life. You see, we want to experience that in our lives, but God wants us to be agents that will help other people know that truth and be set free. Amen. Let's go be those people. And may we be those people to you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the truth that sets us free. The truth that we're not in charge. And may we know, may we celebrate that you're the one that's in charge. And you love us dearly. And that you will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation. May we all know. May we all have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind that can conceive your presence and love in our life. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.